Yo, what's going on? Appreciate y'all tuning in. Another episode of the Bliss is Ignorant podcast. This is Jay Bliss, and I have another funny-ass comedian that I have on here that I have never met physically in person. I literally know this man from social media only. But with having said that, I know there's going to be a time in the near future that we're going to hit the stage together real soon. Welcome to the podcast, funny comedian Lawrence Killebrew. What's going on, fam?
What's up, my man? What's up, my guy?
Nothing much, man.
This is crazy how the world is, man. A lot of times you don't even meet people in person. The only way you do know them is social media. So that's definitely, like, you'll meet somebody on social media before you meet them in person.
A lot of times that is true. But, you know, being in the comedy game, you know, we come up in, you know, and I see you as a person that has been in the grind, has come from the open mic to the stage, to the going from the host to the feature to the headliner, whatever. So you get to know people. You get to know people's names. Like, your name rang out before I knew who you were on social media. Like, I heard Lawrence Killebrew before. And I'm sitting there like, all right, cool. Now I put a name with a face when I see you on social media. And I, like I said, I see you on a live with Ty Davis. And I'm like, all right, when I met Ty in a club at a show. You know
there
what I mean?
Go. All intertwines with everything.
Everything intertwines with everything. So, one of the things that captured me to you was like just the fact that on your page, like this is before the viral part happened, right? And we're gonna talk about that in a minute. But the amount of shows, like yeah. You like to see comedians. Like, you can go and say you're a comedian, but when you go to the room, you be like, is he working? When yeah. you start seeing the flyers, you be like, "Oh, this dude work. Like, this dude,
that was one of my main objectives when I first started. Like, right. I don't like to not be busy. So right. rather it's a paid show or not, in the beginning, I was just filling my schedule up with stage time. You know, in
yeah.
the beginning, a lot of open mic showcases, guest spots, you know, all that. Because what I've learned from social media, sometimes you have to present the illusion that you're all working for people to give you work. So right. sometimes if people don't see that you work, and they're not going to reach out to you. It could right. be a double-edged sword, but for me, I always like to show people that I'm on stage, I'm working, I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So that work did come from that. They were like, oh, he's a working comedian. Let me hit him up, see what he's doing. So for me, I just tried to stay busy as much as possible and stay on stage as many times as possible throughout the week. Now it's kind of slowing up because, not slowing up, like before I would be on stage 6 or 7 times a week. I would go right. from, you know, Monday through Sunday every single day. But now, since I'm working more consistently on the weekends, I have time to space that out. I don't have to be on stage as much during the week because I know I'm going to be doing 35, 40 minutes over a weekend span, doing about 5, 6 shows a weekend. So I can kind of slow it down. You know, so
yeah.
always, man, I just tried to stay busy, stay working, stay on stage, stay in networking, you know, all that. Just, I don't like to be stagnant in the house waiting for somebody to call me, you know, waiting for a call to get a show and all that. I never liked that.
Yeah. And that's a difficult process too. I talked to a couple of comedians before, and it's like, how long have you been no comedy right now? Like, what year are you in?
I'm in my 16th year now.
16, yeah. So, you know, we're at the stage, because I'm 18 years in. So we're at the stage now where we will tell somebody no. Like, no, I don't want to do that. Like,
oh,
we do have the opportunity. Tell, yeah, yep, yeah.
I tell people no all the time. I just told some lady no the other day. I started asking too many questions, asking a bunch of questions that didn't make sense to me. Asking every question about how much is the budget. So I was
absolutely.
Like, no, I'm good. I'm not at that stage where I need exposure or I need an opportunity, man. I'm like, look, this is a job for me. I know when opportunities present themselves. So mm-hmm. I know when to take an opportunity, but 99 out of 10 times these promoters, they don't be presenting opportunities. They just need you to make them money. And that's not
absolutely.
That's not an opportunity for me.
Absolutely. What got you your start like in comedy? Like, was it something in particular to say I can do that, or was it somebody that tried to push you towards that?
No, nobody even, I wasn't even a funny kid in school, to be mm-hmm. honest with you. To be honest, I got started from going to church. I never forget. I did. I got the idea from going to church.
Right.
My homie, actually, he was my trainer a couple of years ago. He was going to a church, and he asked me to come down to the church. I went to his church, and I was just really in awe by how the preacher had everyone's attention. Like, it just struck a chord with me. I don't know what it was, but he literally had everybody's attention and the emotion people was giving him. And that kind of like struck a chord with me. And I was like, damn, that's just kind of dope. Like, if you just look at it, to me, it was an amazing talent to have, to be saying some words and have all these people paying attention to you and catching feelings and whatever. But I knew I couldn't be a preacher. But that was when the idea of, I wouldn't even say stand up, the idea of me wanting to be in front of people and controlling people's emotions and controlling a crowd with words. Idea of being a comedian wasn't in my head, but that idea was in my head. So a couple years after that, I started watching Comic View and Def Jam and all that. And I would always notice that they had the same thought process that I had. Like, they would think things that I was thinking, but I still didn't think I could be a comedian. I just thought that we was thinking the same stuff. It didn't actually hit me until I went to an All-Star game. Let me back up. Kevin Hart started doing comedy. Me and him from the same neighborhood. So I've always been under the impression of, if I know someone that comes from the same part that I come from and they're doing something, I can do the same thing because I can actually see. Like, I was never in awe of celebrity because I don't know celebrities. I know people that I know. So that's why my favorite comedians are comedians that I grew up with or started with, because I see their journey. I see how they went from A to B to C to D to E to F. So once I saw him doing it, I'm like, well, damn, we come from the same neighborhood. We're on the same school bus, went to the same high school. I can do this. So that's when the idea of it started to bubble in my head. And then I'll never forget, I went to LA for the All-Star game and I was in the airport. I'm not going to say the comedian's name because I got in trouble last time. But I didn't really get in trouble. He felt some type of way about what I said, but I don't really care. I saw him in the airport. I recognized him from Comic View and he sold me a DVD. The DVD was called Comedy in the Hood. And I watched this, how long ago it was. I watched it on a DVD player on the airplane. Like, that's how old. I had a
That's
DVD.
90s easy, bro.
Exactly. Like, I had a DVD player. So I watched the DVD and it was horrible. Like, it was disgustingly horrible. And in my mind, I was like, if he can get me to buy this for $10, I need to do comedy so I can sell the DVD and get my money back. And then boom, next thing you know, I was going to open mics. I'm not necessarily getting on stage. I was just going to open mics. I think every comic goes to open mics first before they actually get on stage. And I just saw it and then eventually got up there and ain't looked back since.
That's dope, bro. And I like so it the it's starting to connect the dots now, right? And it's crazy you said that because now it's connected the dots. I knew your name from Philly.
Right.
The reason being is I'm from Camden.
Okay. Yeah.
But I started comedy in Charlotte. Because I
Right.
had moved down there and I was living down there after college. And I went back to Philly and I did a guest spot at the Laugh House.
Right.
And I met Touré. That
True.
was the first time I met Touré. He saw me on stage, like, yo, you funny, da da da. And somebody mentioned your name, was like, y'all style, that's kind of, and that's the first time I heard your name. Thought process. It's comedy. Like my comedy is more thought-provoking. It's not that low-hanging fruit. It's I'm gonna take you somewhere, and then all of a sudden it's gonna be like, oh,
Oh,
I didn't see that coming. You know what I mean? You
I
know what I'm
get you.
saying? So it was like one of those things. And that's the first, I think that's where I heard your name. But I don't know why I connected you with the DMV area.
I mean,
Is
well,
that
to be honest with you, bro, I'm not even gonna lie to you. When I first started, I was everywhere, cause.
right?
And I mean, I was never a hometown comedian, I would say, because very early on, and I tell all comedians this that ask me like advice, I always tell them to know what you want to do early on, and then I can guide you to where you want to be. So for me, very early on, I wanted to be a road comedian because I thought it was dope to be able to travel to different cities and tell jokes in different cities every week. So for me, very early, that's what I wanted to do. So I never stayed home. Like, every weekend I would go somewhere different. I was never that comedian that was always in Philadelphia or always in ever whatever hometown you got. I was never always there. I was always out. So I would go to Baltimore, New York, Atlanta. I remember my first time getting a hotel was in Charlotte, Charlotte, North Carolina. Like, So I was everywhere, man. Plus, I had the ability, I had a car, so I wasn't afraid to get on the road and drive somewhere. I had money saved up. I had a job that was during the week, so I had the weekends off. So, you might have seen me in Baltimore, Delaware, DC.
Yeah,
Like, I
that's
was
dope.
everywhere. Like, I remember when I first started, dude, I remember I took a trip to Boston to do a Wednesday night with Jonathan Gates. Like, I just was everywhere. Like, I wasn't sitting in the crib. I was moving because I wanted to meet as many people as possible. Plus, I wanted to see if my jokes work in other
Yeah.
cities. I didn't want to just be funny in Philadelphia. So I was everywhere.
That's dope. One of the things that one of the mantras I live by is I'm not trying to be the funniest person in Charlotte, North Carolina. I don't
Thanks.
want to be the Charlotte. I don't want to be the funniest person in Charlotte, North Carolina. I had some beef on one time. Well, I didn't have beef. Some open mic had beef with me, and I didn't know about it until somebody said this dude said something to me on social media about me on social media. So apparently he was under the misconception that I was younger in the game than what I was. And it was like, why he keep getting booked and he ain't that funny to me and da 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 da. And I'm like, yeah, dude, I don't know you. First of all, second of all, keep my name out your mouth. You know what I'm saying? And then he was like, but I don't never see you at no open mics. I'm like, yeah, because I'm trying my stuff out on stage. Like, I'm booked, bro. I ain't got time to be around with y'all. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
Like, you know what I'm saying?
I never
Like,
like when comedians do that either, man. I never like
yeah.
when comedians judge other comedians because,
Yeah.
like, it doesn't matter what you think. You're not the one booking me. So
Right.
why do you care if I'm funny to you or not? Like, if you're
Right.
booking me, that's understandable. But if you just judging my comedy, I don't really care. Like,
Right.
unless the club manager or the promoter say I'm not funny, then I got something I gotta think about. But as long as
Right.
they booking me and the crowd is laughing, I could care less what another comedian has to think about what my style of comedy is towards them. I never understood that. I never got it. Like,
Yep.
because you're not putting any money in my pocket. Why do I care what you think? And why do you even care? Like,
Right.
you know what I mean? If the
I'm not out
comedian.
here to impress other comedians, right? Unless you're doing an open mic, right? But
Yeah, no, there's that open mic.
it's funny to me because comedians aren't in competition either. You know what I mean? So when comedians judge other comics, like even the beef that's going on with DL and Monique and everybody and Cat Williams and all that stuff, I'm like, y'all gotta stop wilding out because the audience is the one that we in competition with. Like the goal is the audience to laugh. All those other opinions don't matter.
Yeah, but
You know what I
all them,
mean?
the thing that I don't get about that, they are all funny and successful. So that's the
Right.
weird part about it. Like, I don't get that either. Like, from Cat to DL to Monique to whoever got beef, you're all successful and funny.
Yeah.
What do y'all have to complain about? That's another thing I don't understand. Because if you, once, like, right now, I'm in a blessed position, I would say. Like, I could be doing better, I could be doing worse, but I'm in a very, very blessed position. And I don't have any problems with anybody, because I'm working, I got a little bit of money in my pocket. I don't see the reason to have a problem with someone else. Like,
Right.
I'm just worried about me. Like, I'm doing pretty good, so I don't understand it. I don't understand the back and forth between people. Like,
Me neither. I
that's
mean, for
just.
all of those people that are arguing, right? And now Cat's doing what? Arenas, right? But if you look at it from our standpoint, from our side, looking at their side, right? Any club they want to go to, any weekend, any time, they got a weekend or a show that they could easily get 10 bands, 20 bands, like
True.
over 45 minutes of material, right? And I'm like, what do you have to argue about at that point?
I don't get it, man. I don't understand. I don't understand why anybody, rich or not, has to argue with somebody. Unless it's physical harm
Right.
or like someone disrespecting my character. Outside of that, I don't have no reason to say or beef with anybody at all. Never
Right.
did, never have.
Nah, I agree with you
Maybe
100%, man.
that's why I haven't blown up, because I ain't got a beef yet. I need a beef. I need a scandal to blow up.
Yeah,
That's what
I
I
want
need.
somebody to speak real bad about me or something crazy. They'd be like, yeah, man, Jay Bliss be stealing jokes or something crazy like that. Like, dude, I ain't never stole a joke in my life. You know what I mean? But it's funny, man. Like, so when you I would ask you this, like, so you found a niche on social media, which is very simplified, but it
Yes,
worked.
I
It
did,
worked
man.
like hell.
It definitely did.
I still have yet to find my niche.
I
I know it's
mean,
gonna be something simple. It ain't gonna be nothing crazy, but
it's always that.
yours, listen, I'm gonna tell you what's funny about yours. And sometimes I don't even know it is yours until your face pop up, which is hilarious, right? Because it'll be
Right.
something crazy that'll happen, and all of a sudden your face will be like, "Oh, that's Killer Brew again." You know what I'm saying? And it's like sometimes you don't even say nothing. You wait, and it's the pause and the silence that causes the laughter. Because when you're on stage, sometimes you can tell a joke and not say the punchline and let the audience build up the laughter with their own mindset before you
Facts.
say it. And it's so genius, because only a true comedian that's comfortable with silence on stage can get that. But you do it online, which is even crazier.
Thank you. I appreciate that,
That
though.
gift, like you got to understand how to work a crowd, right? Some people don't get it. Like I just said, like on another podcast, how comedians that are new, they ramble because
Yeah.
they're afraid that somebody going to jump in and say something and throw them off.
I was just talking about that. Like when I'm now, I'm in the middle of doing a new set. I have new material, and I
Right.
noticed I did a show the other day, and I was talking because I like it was new, so I was afraid for them to be quiet. I want to just
Right.
keep talking through whatever. So that's funny that you said that. But yeah, I'm very comfortable on stage with the silence. That day I wasn't. I'm not gonna lie, I wasn't
Yeah.
comfortable with it. It was like it was very new. It was in front of some people that I needed to do well in front of. But I
Right.
get exactly what you're saying. For me, I enjoy the silence. Like this weekend, I was in Springfield, Missouri, and it was majority white crowd.
Yeah,
And what
mainstream, yeah.
I love about them is I can literally sit in a joke and like they're actually listening. Well, black people, you gotta keep that shit flowing.
Dog, so the early on in my comedy career, I had a saying, and I would say the newer comics, like even though I might have been only for 4 years, there would be brand new comics that would come in, and I would explain to them, white people will give you latitude and they will allow you to work on your material and they will appreciate the effort that you put into the joke.
Thanks. And that's
Black
what
people like, nah, cuz that ain't funny, cuz I got a cousin that's funnier than you at a cookout.
true.
And the judgment is already there. So, you know, when I write my material, I don't write my material for black or white. Like I just write for an audience. But I'm smart enough to know that my material in a black room, I don't have time sometimes to get to
Oh.
that punchline.
You
I
out
gotta
of
hit him
time.
in the head and be like, yo, hit this is the joke. You know what I'm saying?
That is absolutely the truth, man.
It's tough though. It's weird that we think that way, but when you think about the background, like you said, you wasn't the funniest person. Like you wasn't even that funny in school. I'm
Yeah,
not the
I
funniest
always.
person in my family, right? In my family, I'm corny, bro. Like it's weird. Like
Dude,
my
let me tell
family
you
is so
what.
freaking funny, man. It's
Ain't nobody
ridiculous.
funny in my family at all. Like that's the crazy part. My father's not funny. But my father, he funny in a smart way. Like he's not trying to be funny. He's just being smart ass. But my mom wasn't funny. My grandma not funny. Brothers, nobody that I know of in my family I could think of is like the jokester of the family. So I don't think I was like it wasn't a natural ability. I can pick up how to be a comedian very easily. Like I can look at the art of it and be like, okay, this is what you have to do. I'm very good at analyzing a craft and then working at that craft and becoming good at it. I don't think that I was ever like naturally like walk in the lunchroom and I had everybody cracking up. I can definitely say smart stuff and I can pick up on stuff and be funny and piggyback off of that. But just the ability of it, I'm able to analyze the craft and then be funny. I literally taught myself how to be funny. I really did. Like
That's dope.
it wasn't nothing natural that
That's
just came.
dope.
It was like, okay, because I think everything is it's a format to everything. Like it's not just, some people do have it naturally and they just pit them, give them a mic, talk to people naturally, be funny. But then some people like Chris Rock is a prime example of that. He is someone who literally has mastered the craft of telling a joke. But then someone like Kev is naturally funny, where you can put him in a room of people and he's going to be the center of attention with
The
everyone.
funniest person in the room. Yeah.
Exactly.
So that's funny that you say that because I'm from the other side. Like, so the only reason I knew I would be successful at comedy is because I don't have stage fright. Like, it's like,
Yeah, because 90% of it is confidence.
that's my superpower. So it don't matter if it's 10 people in a room, 10,000, I'm not nervous. When I get that microphone, I'm like, I'm good. Whether I'm funny or not, I'm good. I'm not nervous. I don't falter with this microphone in my hand. You, on the other hand, you might not have the stage fright, but you knew it was a science to it and you
Facts.
figured that out,
Like I
which is
always figured,
dope.
if I can stay ready, I'll be good. So it's never a time where I'm going on stage and I don't know what I'm going to do. Like I'm not one of them comedians that's going up there, I'm just going to wing it. No. Every time I
Nah.
go on stage, I know what I'm going to do. I know this shit works. So for me, the confidence comes from I'm ready. Like
Tactician, yeah.
I've practiced this 20 times before I've got on the stage. So
Yeah.
if it works, or like I'm not trying to be cocky either. Like,
Nah, I hear
rarely
you.
do I bomb. I
I
might
feel
not
you.
do as well as I did the night before, but rarely do I just go out there and bomb. It's because I know these jokes work. So they might
Yeah.
not work to the capacity that they worked the night before or the show before, but they're going to work. And I'm
Right.
not going to bomb where it's like boo or nobody's going to laugh. They might not be big laughs, but they're going to be laughs every single time. So
Right.
I'm always ready to go on stage, regardless, and I'm always ready for whatever position. If it's a host, if it's a feature, if it's a headline, if I need to do 5 minutes, if I need to do 10 minutes, like I'm always ready for those situations.
Yeah. And that comes with time and it comes with understanding the situation. Somebody say, "Hey, can you do I need seven clean." You'd be like, "Oh, all
Yeah.
right." You know what I'm saying? And you already in your head like, this is what I'm starting with, this is what I'm ending with. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
It's just like that. And that comes with time. And some people get frustrated, you know, when they're like, "Oh man, how you do this?" Like, dude, you got to keep writing. I try to explain it all the time. You need to always be writing. You know what I'm saying? Because you don't know what the situation is. But some people lazy. Some people think that, you know, this thing comes like that. But I'm like, all right, so where's your gym at? Where are
Yeah,
you taking shots at? You
but
know what I
you know
mean?
what? And when I say about that I was just talking to another comedian about that. And this is going to sound weird, but good comedians are the reason of that. Because newer comedians see seasoned comedians doing it so well that it makes you think that you can do it that easy too. Like
Right.
when you watch a comedian and it's just effortless, you like,
Effortless, yeah.
I'm going to go do the same thing. I was one of those guys when I first started. I saw
Right.
things like, oh, this easy. Like, they do it. Like, I can, this easy. And then it's a different story when you get on that stage. So,
Absolutely.
I
Absolutely.
definitely get it though.
I feel like when you I'm gonna go back to when you said you was rambling, right? And I know it happens to a lot of us. And like especially when we try new material. And I think part of it is, and I'm gonna take you back, and it's probably gonna go in your head a little bit. I think it's when you first start the bit and it don't hit on the first joke you think you're supposed to hit on. And
Thanks.
now your mind is like, oh shit. Like, and then it's, then you realize, hey, listen, it's your delivery. And then you say this, and this part is funny, but you just stepped over it because now you're nervous because the first part didn't work. And like, it's like, yo, you got to find out where that funny is. And then you be like, oh, I got to start it like this, or I got to do it like that. Or, and it's so weird, man, when you trying to work that genius out, because it is genius,
That's
because we all
absolutely
know
true.
stuff is funny. But it's like, how do I bring this up to a bunch of strangers and they ain't gonna think I'm weird? You know what I mean?
Absolutely true, yo. That I can't. You put it right there on the nose. Like for me, like I said, it's sometimes it's about slowing down as well and giving the audience the time to actually hear what you're saying. Sometimes I catch myself talking too fast, mumbling, talking over words and stuff like that. So sometimes it's just about slowing down and just talking and letting them actually hear what you're saying to laugh sometimes. And a lot of times I find myself talking quicker when I'm not as confident in the material because it's so new. Once I'm comfortable with it, I can really sit in the pocket, and I'm very, very conscious in what I'm saying. So
Right. Because
definitely.
you can say a premise and had a crowd laugh just by you. You know, you could be like, you ever want to just rob a Panera Bread and look at everybody, right? And they looking at you like, what? You're like, nah, think about it. You know, then now it's like, and then you can just be like, never mind. Now that right there is funny because people are like, what the fuck was that? And you go, nah, don't worry about it. I just be thinking about stupid shit. And people will be like, yo, that's crazy. And then you look at it like, yo, that's a premise. Another comedian be like, damn, I ain't never think of that, right? You know what I mean? Because it's like, you know, I used to do a joke when I tell people, you know, you out of the hood if you see a Panera Bread. Like, you ain't no Panera Breads in the hood. You know what I'm saying? But I'm going to tell you how utopian Panera Bread is. People got their laptops out. Like, that's crazy. You know what I'm saying? Like,
Oh, yeah, you're right.
people come in and just put that, like, nigga, don't you know I robbed you up here? You know what I'm saying?
Thanks.
Like that show is, but it's so crazy because people feel safe in a Panera. And I'm like, yo, this still, like, I'm gonna
You
take
can
that.
get
You know
it.
what I'm saying?
You can get it
Like,
right in. Like,
you know what I'm
ain't
saying?
none of y'all gonna do nothing to me either.
Ain't gonna
Ain't
do
nobody gonna do nothing. What y'all gonna do? Beat me up with some
right.
bread? Y'all not gonna do nothing.
Right. I tell people all the time, like, if you cut in line at Panera Bread, they'll shut that shit down the next day. They're like, this shit has got to control. This is a bad neighborhood. You know what I mean? Like, that's the utopia that people live in that go in there. Cause I'm like, y'all just out of reality up in here. Every time I walk in there, I be
Panera
looking.
Bread. Let me say, me and my lady got an ongoing thing about it. Panera Bread is so cocky, they leave their cups out and then ask you to go pay for it. Is you crazy?
Yeah.
Is you crazy?
Yo,
You think
dude.
I'm gonna pay for a cup and you left it all here for me to? You out your mind? You crazy?
Dude,
I'm not paying. I ain't paying for no drinks.
let me tell you, listen, I'm about to start a whole nother thing about Panera Bread. Let me tell you something else that's crazy about Panera Bread. If you look up the most healthiest place to eat in fast food, Panera Bread is at the top of the list. But if you look at the most unhealthy thing to eat in your diet, it's bread. So I'm like,
It's
yo,
great.
like what the top? Like what are y'all? What are y'all? What's like? What y'all trying to tell me here? I'm just gonna die anyway. It don't matter. Like.
Thanks.
So that's good, man. Like, so with the social media stuff, was it when you found out what worked, right? When you found out, like, all right, this is all I need to do in order for this to work, were you just throwing stuff up against the wall with clips from time to time, and then you found that one, and it was like, all right, this is all I gotta do,
To
or
be
was it
honest
somebody
with you,
coming to you and talk to you about it?
no, well, I got to give credit where credit's due. Todd Davis is the reason
Yeah.
why I'm doing what I'm doing on social media. During the pandemic, don't get me wrong, I was one of those comedians that was against it. I'm like, man, I'm not getting on this internet, man, and chucking jobs and doing all this bullshit. But we was in the crib. We wasn't doing shit. And Ty was
In
like,
the
just do
crib,
shoes, like,
yeah.
just do something. Just get on the internet. Just do something. Like, what you got to lose? So I was like, all right, you know what? I'm gonna try it out. So I just would post. First, I was doing like little like TikTok videos, and I just was doing them consistently. I was just
Yeah.
doing them consistently. I was just posting a video a day, video a day. Then I went to two videos a day, and I was doing three videos a day. And then, I started reacting to things that I was seeing, but I wasn't saying anything. I just was just like, just looking at it. You know what I mean? I started to notice that it started to pick up. So I was like,
Yeah.
well, let me. And then people started sending me clips. So that's when
Right.
I knew I had something. When people
Right.
started sending me
I
things,
want to see your reaction to this. Yeah.
exactly. That's
Yeah.
that moment is where I figured out what I was supposed to be doing. Like, I was doing
Yeah.
more videos here and there. They were getting traction. A couple of them was going viral, but it wasn't nothing big. But then I never forget the video. It was a video about this little skinny white girl, and she was shaking her butt. And I said it looked like I just looked at her like it looked like she's shaking like it was like lunch meat. And then it just went crazy. It went crazy. And then I think another video was with this transgender, but she looked. He looked like extremely like a woman, and I
Yeah.
was like, "Damn, he got me." And that
Yeah.
was it.
I remember that one. Yeah, I remember that
That was it. And then those
one.
two, and after that, you know, just start doing it consistently. And then that was it.
Yeah.
Man, it was real simple. And I tell anybody, man, like, don't overcomplicate social media. It's not a place for it to be complicated. I know a lot of comedians try to, you know, they stress themselves out to be funny. And I look at it like instead of being stressing yourself out about being funny. Just stress yourself out being consistent. Because at some point, something is going to pop.
Something is
And
gonna pop, yeah.
so it's just like, as long as you stay consistent with it, something is going to happen. And then don't be down when it's not. Because it's times where my videos do 500,000, and sometimes they do 1,000. But the
Right.
key to it is just to keep posting and keep posting. And do not think about being funny. Just think about posting. And that's what happens there. So like I said, I give her the credit because she's the reason why I started doing it. And then after that, another person that is a heavily influenced was Shooter King.
Yeah.
Me and him on tour right now.
Yeah.
I was asking him, and he was like, "Yo, bro, I just post.
Yeah.
It's no secret. I just post."
Yeah.
And I took that in. I took that for what it was. So I treat it now like a job. Like I make my videos the night before, and then I set them up and post them 3, 6, and 9
Yeah.
every day.
Yeah.
Regardless if they pop, if they don't, 3, 6, and 9 every day.
Yeah.
And I mean, as of now, I have been slowing down because Instagram not paying no more. So
Yeah.
I'm not even gonna lie to you. I have slowed down a little bit because
Yeah.
I basically got a following. Now it's just building off of that. So I
Yeah.
don't go as hard as I did before, but I need to, but I'm not gonna lie, I've been kind of lazy when it comes to social media as of lately because I'm
Yeah.
working so much on the road.
And
So
that's good though. I mean,
yeah.
that's what you ultimately want. You already know you got the funny in the bag when it comes to
Right.
the stage. You know what I mean? And that's the plus, because some people blow up and they not funny, but then they leaving money on the table because they don't have a good show, and then
True.
people don't come back to see them again. And then
Yeah.
some people aren't comedians, but they don't know to take comedians with them and just host, get the bag, and pay your comedians. Like
True.
that's the formula. But if they knew that, they would be like, you know what? I could still make all this money,
True.
right? You know
So
what I mean?
for my social media, man, if the key to it is not about being funny. Like I felt when people, like I said, my niche came from the people. The people told me what they wanted to see. And with them sending me clips and asking me to respond and asking for my reaction over and over again, I'm like, well, this is okay, this is something. People want to see this. So then after that, I just had to put my own niche on it. And then, like I said, it's consistency.
Yeah.
Anything I'm doing on social media, anything that I'm doing on stage, any success that I've had throughout my career is always based on being consistent.
Consistent.
That's
Yeah.
it. Just doing something over and over again, repetitive, being repetitive about it until something happens where I'm like, okay, boom, now I can go to the next level. Because,
Yeah.
and then what's even crazy, I know this is probably off topic though, the one thing I'm starting to recognize about social media is that, and in general, you're never going to be happy. You're never
Very
going to be happy.
true.
Because
True.
I remember, I literally can remember when all I wanted was 10,000 followers. I said, if I get
Yeah.
10,000 followers, I'm fine. I don't need to be on this. I'm good. As soon as I
Right.
got to 10, it was like, I need 15. Then
Yeah.
as soon as I got to 15, I was like, all right, I'm gonna get to 20. And then
Right.
when I got to 20, it was like, all right, let me try to get 50. So you never going to be happy. Right now, I'm cool. Like I think I'm over the I gotta get these many followers. I'm like, if they come, they come. They don't, they don't. So
Right.
to me, I just think a lot of people, they're never happy. Like you can get 1 million. I gotta get 2 million. You get 2 million, but I gotta get 3. Like you're never going to be happy. So to
Right.
me, I caught that early, and I'm just at this point, I'm just on cruise control. Like if
Yeah.
something happens, if it don't, it don't.
And the crazy thing about never being happy, neither are the people on social media. Like they always got something to complain about.
All the time.
And you know, and the funny thing about that is, you gotta, and I'm part of the problem, because I don't have that many followers yet, but I am very critical of my work. Right? I'm like, don't be critical of my work, you know what I mean? Because I'll come at you and I'll be getting like suspended and shit, because I'll come back and snapping on people that snap on me, you know what I mean? And it's crazy because I think I put a clip up from one of my dry bar special, and it was a joke, my ghetto smack joke. And the joke is really, it's really a play on people's idea of prejudices. So I do the joke and I say I was dating this chick and she hit me with the ghetto smack. And I was like, some of y'all don't know what that is. And I'm like, she talking and going all, you know, like that. And I'm like, yo, She's like, I thought we was going to a restaurant. I was like, yeah, we are. She's like, where are we going? I was like, McDonald's now. You know what I mean? She's doing all this stuff. And I was like, she did the smack like a couple more times. Like, yo, you gotta get out of my car. And I was like, yo, I was like, yo, I was like, y'all just had to start dating black girls again. I was like, this is crazy. Like that right now. I do the joke. Now, the joke is hilarious because it's a misdirection, but it also plays on the fact that people assume who I'm talking about.
True.
Somebody go in the comments is like, yo, misogyny is not funny. I'm like, to you, that wasn't funny. You know what I'm saying? But I'm trying to explain to people, y'all stop taking comedy that serious. Like, the joke is only for the people that laugh. People got mad at Matt Rife when he did his special. They're like, oh, he shouldn't have been talking. Listen, them people that was in that audience, they was laughing. That's for them.
Me and
That
you
joke
told
that
me and you totally different. I'm so emotionalist when it comes to social media. Like I don't even care. Like you can like you it's been times where I've posted a video and people are arguing. They're arguing with me by themselves. On my like they're saying their comment and then commenting back on that comment and I didn't even see it.
You
Like
didn't respond yet.
I haven't, but I hardly read my comments, man. Just recently, I have been going back because of you have the engagement part. I've noticed that if you don't engage, people don't see
The
your
numbers go
video.
down. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, so as of recently, I have been engaging just because I got a big show coming up and I just want people to see my stuff. So I've been
Right,
going
right.
back and forth. But outside of that, man, no, I don't, I'm so disattached from people's feelings when it comes to what I'm posting. Like, and
Yeah.
because I know for a fact none of my shit is in, done with any malice. It's not t intentional. It's just comedy. So if you take it that way, cool. If you laugh
Right.
at it, just it's on the other side too. For the people who praise me, like I don't get too wrapped up in that as well. Like, me, I know I've noticed this dude that's on my post like every day, always telling me how funny he is. I'm just like, all right, bro. I mean, like, I don't get wrapped up in that either. Just as much as I don't get wrapped up in people telling me they don't like my content, I don't take the other side as well. I just want to stay neutral. I just want to stay posting, stay consistent, stay working, shit like that. So I
Yeah.
notice when people get too hung up on that, that could be this that could fuck up too. Like when they get too involved into the comments that's negative and to the ones that's positive, because then you've got your head blown up.
Right.
Everybody telling you funny, you feel like you ain't got to do nothing, but so
Well,
I just
we in a game where if you really want to know you funny, you can find out real easy.
oh
You
yeah,
know, well, this the only job that you can go walk out front after you get done and
yeah,
realize how you did. You know, like,
ain't
they
nobody
ain't
say
gonna
not
lie to
one
you.
word to
They ain't gonna lie to you.
you.
They are not gonna. We all talk about humbling experiences. That is the most humbling. But you know, even from our standpoint, we used to get cats that used to bomb. We were like, yo, come on, take this work, man. Come on outside with us, man. Like, come on out front.
We
Like,
send them home. We tell them they gotta go home.
oh no, we don't. I don't send them home. You
We
got to
send
come
them
hang with
home.
me. You got to hang with me for the rest of the night. Yo, food on me, cause like I got it. You got to take this grilling. Like, what you drinking, bro? Like, let's like.
We in Philly, we make people if they bomb, you go home. Like you
You
can't.
got to go home immediately.
We don't
That's
want none of
hilarious.
that. We don't want none of that bomb energy on us. So take your ass on home, brother.
Listen, so I let me tell you this story real quick. So I was up in Jersey doing this little showcase for my man from Def Jam, and
I'm stubborn, right? Always got somebody doing a showcase, man.
for free, right?
All the time, bro. I
So,
ain't gonna lie to you.
but
Every show.
I happen to be in town, so I'm like, yeah, I come
No,
through and
I'm
do
not
10. You
mad
know what I
at it.
mean?
I get it, but I just knew it was Bob Stubborn. Whenever someone
Yeah,
said it in the showcase, it's always Bob Stubborn.
it's Bob. So I'm up in there, and it's the youngest, it's the young cats, man. It's John Phillips, it's Ken Jones, it's like a couple other people in Philly, and they over in Jersey doing up in the joint. So I think Ken went up there and bombed. Man, when I tell you they ripped this dude so bad, like I couldn't even go on stage, dude. I was laughing so hard. They was making this dude so bad. He was just sitting there taking it. I said, dude, you should just walk away. And then it was a chick there. She was harder on him than the dude was. And I was like, yo, this is hilarious. And I just missed that camaraderie. Like, you know, the group that I started with, we don't live with each other. We don't live around each other no more. You know, cats is in New York and LA and da 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 da. And I'm still here in North Carolina. So the shit talking that we had, it ain't really there. You know what I
I
mean?
miss that too. Like my whole, I don't know what I would call it. I guess my generation of
Yeah,
people
the
that I'm
group you started
friends with.
with,
The
yeah.
one thing I can say this, man, I'm bittersweet because in one side of it, I miss what we had. Like we were really grinding. We was out there. We was going to shows or mics, and it was a good time.
Yeah.
But on the flip side, 80% of people that I started with are all working. Like we're
That's
all
dope.
doing something from, Derek Gaines to David Temple, Richard Bretton, Spank, Naeem. Like these are all guys that I started with. We're all working. So I
That's
can't be
dope.
mad like that we don't have the time to sit around and talk shit and judge jokes and punch up jokes because we all working. So one side I miss it, but then I can't be mad because if we were all still here doing the same shit, then we wouldn't be doing nothing. So
Right.
I'm pretty
Derek
happy.
is Derek Gaines is a name. He's very underrated, man. That's a
Yeah, he
funny dude, man. And he's
creative
quick.
too.
He's very quick on his feet too. I've seen
Yeah.
a lot of work that dude. I like that dude funny as hell.
Like me and him are a perfect example of what I was talking about earlier, where someone is just so naturally gifted in being funny. And
Right.
then on the other end, someone who just works hard to be funny. Like when
Right.
we first started, like me and him basically started together, and he just had a creativeness to him. He always had a star quality, And then on my end, I was just a hustler. I was always, getting at it, trying to, go to these different mics and shit like that. But yeah, Derek has always been, he's always been the creative dude, man. And I always
Yeah.
give props when props due to anybody, any of my friends that's, doing anything, always giving props. And he's one of those dudes that I have to give props to.
That's dope, man. That's a good little group though, that you got, to start out with or whatever. That's
Yeah, it
not a
was.
that's
I
not
mean,
that ain't no light work there.
it wasn't easy either, brother. It wasn't easy coming up through the ranks in Philly to where I got at. But where I got, the positions that I got in Philadelphia came from observation. A lot of comedians don't observe things when they do stuff. Like one of the biggest things that I noticed when I first started was I'm looking at all the comedians that I wanted to be like, right? And then
Right.
I question myself, why are they not bigger than what they are? Like I'm like, yo, these dudes, like I'm talking about from Toure to Denny Love to Capone Talent, like all these dudes that I'm saying, like, yo, why are they not bigger? And then I noticed it was certain things that was holding them back. And I tried my best not to do those things. A lot of comedians drink. I don't drink. They would waste their money drinking, smoking weed, waste their money smoking weed. They didn't have a car. They had relationships. They had baby moms, child support. All these things that I noticed that they all had. And I was like, you know what? I'm staying away from that so I won't get caught up in the same thing. Like, I never forget this. Smokey, I remember him, me and him did a show together. I ain't going, no, I was too late. I already said it. We was doing a show together and he asked the promoter, can he pay him in cash? And he was like, why? He was like, I can't get a check because I can't get a bank account. I'm on child support. And I
Yeah.
was like, wow.
Yeah, but that's how you turn the system. You get that check, it come in the system. Sometimes they be like, we're gonna take that away. You get
Yeah.
paid in cash, it's under the table. Like a lot of people, you know
Exactly.
what I'm saying? It's crazy, man, when you think about that. But yeah, it's like a younger child, like a younger kid. You watch your older siblings on the mistakes they made, and you be like, I ain't doing that. You know what I
Yeah.
mean? Like
It's
you
like
right. I
little
don't.
things like that, right? Not being able to get a bank account. Now you can't get a business account. Now you can't get business credit. Now you can't be incorporate yourself. These are all things that I learned early on. Like I started my company early. So I was writing myself checks early on.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's just like little stuff like that that I picked up that I wasn't trying to do shit like that.
Yeah, man. That's a good way to look at it, man. Like I don't, I'm not a drinker. I'm not a drinker and I don't smoke weed either. I'm the same way. But I did pick up smoking cigars. That's something I did pick up, but that was something that thinking wise, it made more sense. So after shows, we all chop it up. It's talking shop. You hang out with comedians. What do? They go get drinks. They go smoke weed, or they go get something to drink. Well, a cigar take an hour.
Exactly.
45
And
minutes.
cigars are, I'm not meaning to cut you off, but
Yeah.
those are another one of those things that you can network with. I've
Yes.
noticed
Yes.
cigars, watches, a lot of famous people and celebrities love a good timepiece. They love a good
Yep.
cigar. And so you
Yep.
sit down and you wind up sitting there talking with somebody for an hour, chopping
Yep.
it up for them, smoking a cigar,
Yep.
and in a cigar spot. Like I know a lot of comedians that do it. DL, I've noticed DL smokes cigars. Cedric the Entertainer.
Cedric, yep.
Who else I
Yep.
noticed a big cigar? Rodney Perry.
Rodney Perry, yep.
Yeah. And I noticed that those are like networking tools that
They
when
are.
someone sees a cigar, they, oh, okay. Like when you know your cigars, you definitely can move. Somebody's paying attention to who you are and they want to have a conversation with you.
Right.
Watches are another thing that people pay attention to. If someone has a good
Yeah.
watch, it's always like, oh, okay, are you into watches like that? Boom, that's the conversation.
That's
Now
kind of a
y'all talking like
conversation. Now y'all connected about something. Right. It's crazy, man. And a lot of times, comedians, we always do talk shop, but some don't like to hang around. But for those that come up in that ilk and they come up in that space, you already know it's gotta be at least 30 minutes after the show. You're gonna have to chop it up for a little bit.
right.
And a lot of people, they want to go right home. And I'm like, look, man. Sometimes you just never know what type of conversation you're gonna get. You might get a little nugget of something that you hear, be like, I ain't never heard of that. Now you gotta research it because you're like, yo, let me go find out what that's all about. You know what I mean? It's always good though. You know what I mean? I like I say, I give props to anybody that found a niche on social media and that could drive ticket sales to the point where comedy clubs are answering your phone calls or the bookings start to grow. You know what I mean? Because, like I said, comedy clubs, they're getting a little lazy. They're not going by who's funny. They're going by who's going to sell the tickets.
I mean, and I don't get mad at that. I don't.
Nah.
It's business. It's business. You know,
Yeah.
you can't be mad at somebody that's they're not in the business to pick talent. They're in the business to make money. So
Right.
if this person, you know, can fill my room up and I can sell $5,000 worth of food, I'm gonna put them on a bill. And I always say for the people who are mad at that, do what he's doing, because not only will you be able to do that, you're funny too.
Right.
So if comedians have a problem with a social media person not being funny but filling up a room, do what he's doing, and now you got you know all the cards in your hand, because not only are you have jokes, you're filling up the place too.
Right.
Do that. You can't be
Right.
mad at somebody because they're taking advantage of what they do and they're using it to their advantage. I've never been mad at people like that.
Nah, I always give people props where props is due. 'Cause if they find a lane, find it, man. Like, I ain't mad at you. Somebody would be like, well, he bigger than you. I'm like, that's fine. That's
Yeah,
cool. You know
I
what I mean?
was
But
in. I like that. That makes so much sense. Like 3 weeks ago, I was in. Damn, where the fuck was I at? I think it was Toledo, maybe Toledo. And a dude had. I know it was a funny, but I just can't remember when it was. This guy before, this lady before us, she did a show at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. All she does is talk about, well, balloons. She's busting balloons and talking about balloons. Shit was sold the fuck out. 4 o'clock in the afternoon on a Saturday before my show, she
Wow.
goes up there talking about balloons. It's like a podcast about balloons, popping balloons, like one of them things, like how you like pop pimples and stuff like that.
Yeah.
About like, I don't know, it was just very weird, but
Right.
sold out. 4 o'clock. And then I asked the guy, like, yo, he's like, yeah, man, she's been selling out all the time. She doesn't interfere with our weekend shows because she does them in the afternoon. I'm just like, I mean, you can't be mad at that. If someone's going to pay to see you talk about busting a balloon, all power to you, man. I need to
Right.
find an audience like that. And that's
Right.
it.
I mean, that's basically you can't beat that. I went like Kristen and her husband do the podcast, like, and then we had sex. That's crazy that they blow up. They selling
Oh.
out all over the country all because they talking about their sex life. And I like that's like, yo, if you got the space, do it.
Yeah, I
You know what
remember
I
I
mean?
didn't know who they were. I remember I did one of those shows in Philly.
Yeah.
My man, Cletus, he
Yeah.
traveled and they needed a comic, and he asked me to come down. And bruh, I was amazed. I was
Yeah.
just like, This is not like I love when people take something and then they make something out of it. Like they literally, it's a whole show. Like it's comedians in the front, and then they go up there, they play games, and then they talk. And it's wall to wall packed, and it's a great fucking show. Like that's the
And
art.
but Kristen is a stand-up. Like she was
But I
stand-up.
didn't know that. I didn't know she was.
I met her years ago, and I remember she was featuring for me one time in Harrisburg for the Comedy Zone. And that's when I met her husband, and that's when she told me they was pregnant with twins. And I'm like, what? And then they got like married or whatever. I'm like, yo, that's crazy, because I have twin daughters. So I'm sitting there like telling them like what they gotta deal with and all that other stuff. And it's crazy because I did one of the episodes of their podcast, but this is before it blew up. And he had the setup, and he got the camera that switches to the person that's talking and everything. And I'm
That's
like, yo, y'all. Yo. I was like, y'all got the whole. And she's like, that's his stuff. So he already had the mindset. He already knew what he wanted to happen. And to see it go through fruition, I'm like, look, man, another lane, like another way for somebody to be like, boom, this is what I do. This is my space right here.
Like I see so many of those different type of shows at these comedy clubs, man, from podcasts to TED Talks, and it's just like, hey man, if you find someone that can come out, you can't be mad at that, bro. Not one.
Are you more of a creative, or you just stand up only? Are you trying to expand to other things, or what's next for you?
To be honest, my first goal is to create a catalog. I got two albums out right now. I want to put out a third one. I would love to turn my jokes into many movies. Some of my stuff, my material into that. That's not my main goal. But right now it's more so stand up. I want to create a catalog. I want to have multiple albums. I want to shoot another. I want to shoot a special. So yeah, right now my goal is comedy. It's not anything else. If anything else occurs from comedy, like someone had reached out to me a number of times. I do this thing on Facebook. Me and my father have we our text messages. I post them on Facebook, and a lot of people are like they love them. It was just like I said, it was just something that, well, I wasn't looking for it to be funny. I was like, yo, my pop crazy. He texted me this today, and a lot of people always hit me up about creating a character with me and my father. I thought about it. You know what I mean? I have to be in love with it. I think it's kind of dope. I'm not in love with it yet, but outside of that, right now I'm stand up. So anything creating stuff out with stand up, I would love to do. Like I said, I want to put another album out. I want to shoot another special, not another special. I want to shoot a special, and just create more albums, more content when it comes to stand up. So no,
That's
I'm not
dope.
really looking to anything else at this moment, because I think if that is good, things will come from that.
Right.
Like
What
I don't like to
what's the title of your two albums?
Comedy Hustle, Comedy Hustle 1, Comedy Hustle 2, and then I'm gonna do a trilogy, Comedy Hustle 3. I'm trying to mimic the same thing Jay-Z did when he did
The blueprint.
Volume 1, 2, and 3. He did Blueprint 1, 2, and 3. That's what I want to do. So I got the third one. I'm gonna put out soon, and then I'm gonna do another volume of three like that.
That's dope. That's dope, man. That's dope.
So.
Albums are cool, man. I was telling one of my other comedy partners, Marvin Hunter. I was talking about the album thing, and I was explaining to him like, my first album was like an hour. Second album was like 40 minutes, but my goal wasn't to do a 40-minute album. My goal was to do half hour. So he was like, why only half hour? I was like, yo, half hour is an album. Like, I don't know why people think they got to do an hour. Like the
I don't.
special was an hour. The
Yeah.
album only got to be 30 minutes.
I've seen albums. I've seen people do 15-minute albums. I've seen people put out EPs. Like, it's crazy. Plus, people's attention span's not that long either. So, you can put something out like that. So, I'm not mad at it at all.
I mean, I feel like anything that's gonna bring you any kind of residuals, you know what I mean? Once you try to, place it out there, put it out there so that Sirius picks it up, they start running clips, you start getting them checks coming in, it's different. You know what I mean? It's like, hey, I'm making money while I'm sleeping. You know what I mean? So
True.
that's always a plus. So let the people know how they can get in contact with you on social media for those that don't follow you.
Hey man, hit me up on social media. I actually have three different social medias account, man. Lawrence C3H, that's my main account. Then I have my Comedy Hustle account, spelled Comedy Hustle. And then I have my nonprofit, Killer Blue Kicks. Lawrence is LawrenceC3H. Comedy Hustle is Comedy Hustle. And Killer Blue Kicks is KillerBrew. Kicks, KICKS.
No
Check me
doubt.
out there. YouTube, Comedy Hustle, Lawrence Kilbrew, all that good stuff.
That's what's up, man. Hey, man, it's been a pleasure, man, getting to chop it up with you and getting to know you, like, on a different level, you know what I mean? So, I put the name with the face, the skits with the dude, and the comedy with the guy, you know what I mean? So, I look forward to working with you, man, soon, man. And I know what's gonna happen,
Definitely, man.
eventually, man. And
And now
hey.
that we know each other, so now I gotta reach out to you when I come to Charlotte. Yo, come on down or whatever. Like, I reach out to you, pimp, for sure.
Absolutely. Now, when you come to Charlotte, are you going to be at the zone? Is it a venue? Like, do you know where you're going to be at?
No, I'm doing it. I know. I'm definitely doing a comedy zone. I definitely doing. I don't know any other venues in Charlotte. But I'm definitely
Yeah.
doing that.
Absolutely, man. Let me
Unless
know the
I've been
dates.
to Good Nights. I don't know how
That's
close
in
that is
Raleigh.
to you.
That's in Raleigh. That's 2.5, but that ain't nothing but a drive, bro.
Okay.
Yeah, that ain't nothing
Gotcha.
but a drive. Yep. So, man, look, man, thanks
Appreciate
again. And appreciate you coming by. And I'm gonna get up with you.
that. Hey man, appreciate you for having me. Thank you again, partner.
All right, peace.